Psalm 127 tonight. Most of the notes and everything will be on the screen here in just a minute. I do want to share with you one verse before we get to Psalm 127. And so thankful that you're here tonight. I want to welcome those joining us online as well. And tonight we're going to be talking about the pressures that come from parenting. We're going to talk about biblical parenting tonight. And we want to have biblical responses. If you're not a parent or haven't been a parent, you may not realize the pressure that comes from being a parent. And we've got a broad spectrum of people with us tonight. Some of you had kids so long ago, you can't even remember really what that was like to have a newborn. I'm just guessing. Some of you have had young ones close enough in history that it's very vivid in your mind and you remember exactly what it was like to have a newborn in the house for the very first time. To say the least, having kids is life-changing. There should have been a bigger amen for that. Life-changing. And as we were singing tonight, I just, a lot of stuff going on, and thank you for praying for my uncle. I trust you'll continue to do that. But as we were sitting there, I thought of this verse in 2 Corinthians 10:12. And Paul's really talking about those who were coming in and causing trouble and basically trying to contradict what Paul and the other apostles had already established as the truth. And he's kind of giving a defense there, but he says in verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And I was just thinking about that in this idea of parenting and really just life and just our life in the church. It's so easy for us to make comparisons, right? And we see each other in our Sunday best. You know, you don't know about the screaming and yelling and fighting and crying that was going on in the car, you know, all the way into the parking lot, right? You just see the tears wiped away and the smiles plastered on as they come in the door. And can I just say, listen, you may think that you're fooling somebody, but you're not fooling God. And we're far better if we're just real. We're far better if we're real. And there's not been a perfect family in existence. Adam and Eve had a shot, right? And Jesus was the perfect son, literally. But other than that, we've all been a mess. And so it's, you know, we come in and we see each other and everything looks so good, right? And everybody puts their fake Facebook post on. I've appreciated a few families over the last couple of years. I've seen the family pictures and they post the good ones, but they've also posted the real ones. You know, when the kids are screaming or the brothers are hitting each other or somebody's pulling another one's hair, like, that's real. Amen. That's real. And so don't come in, as we talk about parenting tonight, comparing. It's not going to do you any good. Amen. If you want to compare to Scripture and allow the Scripture to convict your heart and make the changes that you need to make. Now, some of you are young and don't even need to be thinking about having children. Amen. 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 Praise God. But I hope that you'll learn some things from the Word of God tonight as you look forward, because God may bless you with children one day, and children are a blessing from God. Let me try that one more time. God may bless you with children one day, and children are a blessing from God. Now, you may not want to amen that, but it's in the Bible. We're going to see that in just a minute. But I want you to get that. They are a blessing from God. And I hope that you'll learn some things. Some of you that are young enough, you're not married yet, not even thinking about kids, that's good. But one day you may be blessed with children and you want to be able to raise them up biblically. And I hope to equip you with a few things tonight that will help you when that day comes. There are some of you that have children at home still. And if you think that you've got it figured out, I promise you, you don't got it figured out. Right? None of us have done it perfectly. None of us are going to do it perfectly. And if you've still got kids at home, I'm gonna share some things from the Word of God with you that will be a help to you as you seek to train your children up biblically. And for some of you, you're thinking, man, I'm so glad I'm done with all that. My kids are gone. They're grown. But there are principles tonight that may help you as a grandparent because you still have influence over your children's children. You still have influence over your children, and it's vital to continue those biblical practices. Now, let me say this also, because some of you are going to get comfortable and go to sleep in a second, no doubt. So let me get this in before you do. It's very easy to be overcome with guilt when we look into the Scriptures at the kind of parents we're supposed to be. Listen, Abigail's my oldest. She's only 14 years old. But I promise you, we've made more than a lifetime's worth of mistakes already. I've messed up a lot as a dad. And when you start looking at the Scriptures at the kind of parent you're supposed to be, it's really easy to be overwhelmed with guilt. And that is not the intention of this message. Some of you are going to hear things tonight and you're going to go, man, I missed it. I messed up. I can't fix what happened. My kids are grown and gone. There's nothing I can do about it. Well, if there is something you need to repent about, you can do that. And you can make a decision that from this time on, whatever influence you do have over your children that are grown and gone, you'll do what you can. Okay? So don't allow this message to beat you up. That's not the intention. It's meant to be an encouragement. I guess I should start most of my sermons that way. This sermon is not intended to make you feel horrible. It's to encourage you, but you need that qualification. Psalm 127. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 127, 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." Now listen, God is the one who designed the home. He created the home. He made them male and female and brought them together in marriage. And he's the one that established what we call the family. And he's the one that's going to build your home. We're not talking about brick and mortar here. We're not talking about 2x4s and concrete. We're talking about your family. And if it's going to be built, you need God to build it. And if God's not doing the building, it's vanity. It's emptiness. Verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Trust in God as you do life with your family, as you try to be a mom or a dad, a husband or a wife or a child in your home, trust God. Don't give in to the anxiety and the fear and the sleeplessness. You can both lay you down and sleep when you trust in the Lord. Verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." I want you to look at two words, heritage and reward. Do those sound like negative things? I'm a little sad because mom already told me she's spending up my inheritance before she's gone. But an inheritance sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Reward. That's a great thing. It's a good thing. We live in a society today that has indoctrinated our populace to believe that the worst thing that could happen to a young woman in our society today is to get pregnant. It's the mindset. And it's absolutely unbiblical. Children are a blessing from God. Verse 4, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." God said, listen, your kids are like arrows. They're like arrows. And when you go to war, you want to have a quiver full. Right? They're a blessing and they bring joy There's a lot of pressure, but there's happiness and joy to be found in the family God's blessed you with. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, I just pray that you'll help me to present your word in a way that would be an encouragement to the hearts of everyone here. For those young people who are not yet married and not yet having children, I pray, dear God, that you would help them to learn things that will stick with them and they'll remember and keep with them as they move toward those days. I pray, Father, that you would bless them with families, bless them with children, and let those children be an heritage unto you, dear God. By our faithfulness to you, by the grace that you give us, that we would live faithfully and lead our families faithfully. I pray for those who have children at home today that things that we talk about will equip us and help us to be the parents that you've called us to be. I pray for the grandparents here, those whose children are gone from home, their children are raised and out of the home. I pray that things that are said tonight will be an encouragement to their hearts, that they can continue to be an influence over their children and children's children for your glory. Please help me, for I am nothing without you. And God, help me to be the dad that you've called me to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There are few things that change our lives more than going on the journey of parenthood. And most of you that have had children can no doubt remember the first time you held that newborn baby. Buddy. I mean, when they give you that baby for the first time, and I remember as a brand new dad, you know, just a few seconds into it, they hand me Abigail. Thankfully, they cleaned her up and wrapped her up before they gave her to me. But, man, I was like, I don't know what to do with this thing. Right? I'm scared her Ted's going to fall off. I mean, it's just, what am I going to do? But I remember that sense of awe and wonder and just rejoicing as I looked down at this incredible blessing that God had given to us, and had the very same similar experience with all of our children. And then we tried to go to sleep that night. And the next night and the next night. I've had some friends over the years who are like, oh, our baby slept all through the night from the moment they were born. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, you know, not to throat punch people. We're still waiting on some of our kids to sleep through the night. No, but it's this glorious experience, this wonderful blessing from God, this joy that overflows you as a brand new parent. And then the reality sets in, and it is. It's sleepless nights, and how can there be so many diapers from such a small thing? Like the reality of it, and it can be overwhelming. There can be a lot of pressure. Like I said, in our culture, children are sometimes seen as more of a curse than a blessing, but children are a blessing from God. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a blessing from God. They're like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Parenting is hard work. It can certainly bring a season of great pressure onto your life. You want to be perfect parents. You want to do the very best that you can. I mean, this is another human being's life, literally, that's in your hands. And you want to do your best. None of us are perfect. It's important to understand that. But as we look at the life of making decisions, the stresses that come, the conflicting advice, mostly unsolicited from other people. Anybody remember that? Man. So thankful that everyone was an expert on how we should raise our kids, right? And one person says you should do this, and the next person you talk to says you should never do that, and you don't know what to do. And I will say that, for all of our faults, I knew from the beginning that I didn't know what to do. But let's just try to keep it alive. We'll go from there, right? the opportunities and blessings of parenting far outweigh any pressure. We can approach parenting biblically from the very moment you find out you're going to have a kid. Now, Satan likes to take good things like family and children and use them as stumbling blocks in our lives. Satan understands the devastating effect strong Christian families have on one of his biggest missions on this planet, and that's to destroy the home. Unfortunately, Christian homes are falling rapidly to the attacks of Satan. And we want to stand up and we want to fight back biblically on how to do that. We don't want to give up. We don't want to just throw our hands up and say, what's the use? I don't have control over how my children turn out anyway. On the contrary, the fact that Satan's after us shouldn't make us want to give up, but should make us just that much more vigilant, much more diligent in doing things God's way. No child is an accident. No child is an accident. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, you're no doubt familiar with. But God said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God formed him in the womb. He has a purpose for his life, and no child is an accident. You guys know I'm relatively passionate about the issue of abortion because it's disgusting. Amen. It's murder. It's always murder. There's never any excuse for killing innocent human lives, ever, no matter how small they are, no matter where they're located. I just, looking at those statistics regularly, there's this phrase that comes up, and it just is heartbreaking, and it's unwanted pregnancies. Unwanted pregnancy. Now, it makes the pro-choice person, or what we have now in America today, pro-abortion, not just pro-choice, but pro-abortion. We have these people who just look at pregnancy as that. They say it's an unwanted pregnancy, but it's not a pregnancy, it's a life. That's a unique human being living inside of you that God is knitting together. And it's legal in our country for a doctor or some other health practitioner to go in and rip that baby from limb to limb. It's legal to do that in our state. It's legal to do that in our country. And it's happening to the tune. I just posted something today. Worldwide today, 26 million babies have been aborted so far this year. Worldwide. In the world today, about 1.6, if you average it out, every second, more than one every second is aborted somewhere in the world. People say they're unwanted. They say it was an accident. They say things like unintentional. But let me help you out. No baby is ever conceived without the hand of God. Now, the parents may be stupid, not know what they're doing, but God knows. God knows. Let's talk about the heart of a parent for a moment. The heart of a parent. As we consider this, we're going to throw a few things up on the board, up on the screen for just a second. But so many people, when they think about this idea of parenting, there's motives, there's reasons people have kids or reasons people want to have kids. And I want to run through these motives real quick so you can see it. The first one is comparison. Comparison. Sometimes when you are growing up, you get married and everybody around you is having kids. And so people are moved to have kids because they see how everybody else is having kids and how it's fulfilling to them. But children are more valuable than to use to try to keep up with somebody else. Your desire to have children was to kind of keep up with everybody else. That's not a good motive. You need to check that motive. Sometimes people want to have kids for the love that they can give. People have literally said, I want to have kids because there's that special love that a child has for their parent, and I want to feel that. And certainly the love your kids have for you is a special thing. And I man, to this day, it thrills my soul. I love just going home before my kids are in bed. I love it because they're always coming to the door and they're so excited that daddy's home. It's a thrill. But you don't have kids just for the love that they show you. That's not a good motive. As a matter of fact, having children is not really about you at all. Parenting is about giving love, not getting love. Next, some people want to have children to impress other people. Have you ever known a family that pushes their children to excel, like they want them to be overachievers in everything? And then maybe it's in whatever, sports or music or whatever it is. They're just pushing their kids. They want them to be, you know, in America's next great talent. I don't know. And then when somebody comes around, they kind of show them off like a pet. Seen that? I got to be honest. I might have been guilty of this some, you know, big tricks with my kids when they're really little. Like when they did big things like learned how to walk. Like, you got to see this. It can walk. Right? That's a big deal. But we have that. We want our kids to impress others. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting your kids to do well. There's nothing wrong with pushing them to be better. But our motive behind that push is important. Some people take pride in how obedient and well-behaved their children are. But can I remind you, nobody's kids are perfect. And you shouldn't put that pressure on your kids that they're expected to be perfect. We want to train our children up. We want to discipline them. We want to establish rules in their lives. But we want to be careful about the motive behind it. Now, let me ask you this question, give you a quick test. When you discipline your children, do you do it because you're embarrassed by their behavior or because you're trying to develop their hearts for God? Be honest. I'm going to tell you, just being honest, especially around you people. Kids get out of line in front of somebody at church. Man, you got to get on them. You don't straighten them up. You guys are all like, yeah, that's right. Why? Because I'm embarrassed? Because my children misbehaved in front of the church? Or because I care about their heart being developed for God? See, I got to check that motive. Because, no offense, but it's not going to be, you're not going to be there when I'm being judged by the Lord. I'm going to be there all alone. It's going to be me and the Lord. And I don't have to answer to you, but I do have to answer to Him. Right? So I got to check that motive. Check them. Of course I want my kids to behave well. As a matter of fact, I have a biblical mandate for my children to be in subjection. Don't you feel lucky you don't have a biblical mandate for that? It's right there in the Scriptures. It's right there. My children would be in subjection with all gravity, and I take that very seriously. But my motives have to be right. My motives have to be right. By the way, just as a side note, as a pastor and to any pastors out there that might hear this, we've got to be careful of that because I don't want to turn my children's heart against the church. Right. Yeah, some of you have seen that. They're expected to behave a certain way because of the church and what the church thinks and what the church says, but that can't be the motive. Amen. It's for the Lord. It's for the Lord. At the heart of every matter is a matter of the heart, so we got to check our heart. The last one I would caution you about tonight is to fill a void in your life. I think this happens a lot. I think this happens a lot, and I think that it's understandable. God's kind of put that in us. It's kind of in our nature. Most people want to have kids. Want to have kids. But you're not going to, and I've seen people try to do this. They've tried to fill a void in their life with having children. And let's just be honest. There are voids in your life that kids can't fill. There are voids in your life that human relationships can't fill. there's something that only Christ can satisfy. Colossians 2 and verse 10. And ye are complete in Him. If you have Christ, you have everything you need. Amen. And if you feel a lack in your life, I don't care what kind of relationship you have, it's not going to fill that void. If you're not complete in Christ, then you're never going to be complete. Amen. All right. We want God to change our thinking so that we see children through His eyes. Our kids are image bearers of God, created by God for special purposes of God. It's according to His grace and purpose that He's given them life. And we need to ask God to help us to love and direct our children the way that God wants us to. So we got to get this biblical perspective. We got to look at this thing of being parents through the lens of Scripture. Let's talk about some pitfalls of parenting. I'll try not to say that too many times. Some of you are sitting too close. Pitfalls of parenting. When the angel came to Samson's mom and dad to let him know they were going to have a son, Judges chapter 13, they wanted to know, how shall we do unto him? You see it? How shall we do unto him? It's a weird way of saying it, but what are they saying? They're saying, okay, you're going to give us a son. That's great. Now, what do we do with him? How do we do this? Of raising up a son. It's a great question for all of us to ask God. God, how do I do this? How do I do this? Well, there's some things that we need to look out as, we need to look out for as we consider this. Some of the things that people say about raising children reveal some of the priorities they have, and we want to guard against some wrong things. First of all, some people would say, I'm going to spend every moment possible with this child. I'm going to spend every moment possible with this child. Now, if you have children, they should be a major priority in your life. But they can't be the priority of your life. Get that? I think this is especially true for moms. It's really easy for moms, that maternal instinct to you have a biblical mandate to keep the home and all those things. It's really easy for moms to get overwhelmed with this. Some parents take it to the extreme. Family time's important, but the most important thing that you can teach your children is for them to love God. Amen. We've got to model that in our actions. It's really hard for a parent to tell their kids to love God when that parent is putting other things ahead of God. Amen. Children are going to see your real priorities based on your actions, not your words. Amen. You remember the saying? What you're doing is screaming so loud I can't hear what you're saying. And that's so true with your kids. So don't make your children the priority of your life. Be a disciple of Christ first. You put Christ first. Let your children see that Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life, because that's the way you'll lead them to have Christ be the most important thing in their life. And isn't that what you want for your kids? Next, I'm going to build my life around this child. I'm going to build my life around this child. Now, that sounds very noble, but God's design is that one day your children will actually leave your home. He's got plans for them. And if you build your life around your children exclusively, you're going to find this huge void when they're gone. The fact is, from the moment you find out you're going to have a kid, you need to go ahead and start preparing your heart that one day they're going to leave your home. Amen. You get yourself ready for it. It's astonishing to watch our kids grow up, because it's like hyperspeed to me. And it's really, really telling when somebody hasn't seen the kids in a while. Just, it doesn't take long, a few months, 6 months. If they haven't seen them, like, it wasn't that long ago, we saw some friends, and they hadn't seen Abigail in almost a year, and they didn't know who she was. Like, who is this young lady? Right? It's astonishing to watch how fast they grow up. So you better get your heart ready. Next, I'm never going to let this child out of my sight. It's really important as parents to protect our kids. I get a little tickled sometimes when people ridicule parents for being protective. I'm pretty sure that's not a bad thing to protect your kids. But like everything else, you can go to extremes. It's physically impossible to guard your children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the older they get, the more time they're going to get outside of your vision. We need to encourage our kids to step out there and to live their life and to move into that. And can I say this? One of the greatest ways for us to do that is to encourage our kids to serve others, to love others. Listen, I want my kids to be protected from the world. I want them to be sheltered. I do. I want them to be ignorant concerning those things that are wicked and wise concerning the things that are righteous, that are godly. But we can't pretend like the world's not out there. So one of the ways that we help our children to understand how devastating the effects of sin are is by serving people who have been devastated by the effects of sin. And take our kids with us on outreach. We let them go from house to house in our community. They see the condition that people live in without Christ, and they understand, and they have a heart to help them. So they know, but they're not coming at it from a part of being allured and drawn into it, but to help people out of that situation. Buddy, with me? Help your kids learn to serve. I got news for you. It's going to be really hard for you to get your kids to serve others and love others through the church if you're not doing that. So you've got to get involved and get them involved. Next, I'm going to shield my child from anything negative. We do want to shield them. We do want to protect them. If you're not keeping up with what your kids are watching on TV, the movies they watch, the games that they play, the social media they're involved with, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. You may think little Johnny would never, but little Johnny would. You may think that those friends that they have on their social media, they're completely safe. It's just a sweet little 14-year-old girl, but what you don't know is it's not a 14-year-old girl. It's some perverted guy. Listen, you need to guard your children. You need to protect them, without a doubt. But we've got to get them involved in helping people. We can't completely shield them from everything. And as they grow, you've got to start expanding their circle. And you've got to trust God. You've got to trust God. I don't know if you've ever said this, thought this, or heard this, but I hope that God will stamp this out of your heart tonight, put it out forever. In my life, I've heard a lot of people, especially when we have missionaries come, or we have revival, and there's a lot of preaching about missions. A lot of parents start getting really nervous because they've got kids that are a little older, and their greatest fear in life is that God would call their children into the ministry and send them to some foreign mission field. I got news for you. You hearing me? Your child is far safer in some jungle on the other side of the planet in the will of God than they are staying at your house outside of the will of God. Do I want my kids to grow up and move to the other side of the planet where I'll never see them? No. That's not really like at the top of my list. Like I'd like for them to be around. I like those people. I hope God blesses them with spouses, godly spouses. I pray for that regularly, that God will bless them with godly spouses that love God more than anything else, and they'll serve God faithfully all the days of their life. But if that means that God takes them and puts them some other place to preach the gospel and to serve others, then that's where I want them to be. That's where I want them to be. Glory to God if God would take them into the ministry and use them. So, man, don't be that way. There's so many people that have that attitude against their children and grandchildren serving God in another place. When I hadn't been pastoring very long, I got really discouraged. And I don't know if you know this about pastors, but most of them think about quitting regularly, usually on Sunday night. The numbers are staggering. It's hard to look at just what's going on in Baptist, but if you look at Christianity across the board in America, pastors are leaving the ministry in droves. They get discouraged. They leave. And I remember I was having a hard time with that, and I had some what I considered to be terrible advice. I was counseled that if you can do anything else, then do that. And I think their intentions were pure. And what they were saying is, if the call of God's not so strong on your life that you just can't do, you have to do this, you can't do it. But what I heard was, if you could do anything else, go do that. And I'm thinking, there's 1,000 things I could do besides this. That's where I was at. My heart and mind, I wasn't in a good place. And later, it was funny because I'd prayed about it and I'd wrestled with that and had been struggling with it. And I got some more counsel. And it was just one of those things where God was at work. And the next counsel I got was, if you could give your life to preaching the gospel, why would you ever do anything else? If there's a chance that God is going to let you give your life to proclaiming Jesus, that's what you get to do with the rest of your life, why would you do anything else? And that very night I heard a sermon, and the pastor or the preacher got up, and you know what he said? He said the exact same thing. It was just over and over and over, God confirming in my heart, like, yeah, I could quit. I could go do something else. I can get another job. I can find something else to do with my life. But why would I, if I can give my life to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I want you to know, it's on your prayer list every week. It just says men to the ministry. I hope you understand what that's about. The heart behind that is that there would be people in this church who would answer the call. They'd answer the call, that they would devote themselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at this next one. If I teach my children to obey, that's enough. If I teach my children to obey, that's enough. Would you say that, by and large, I would say, I'll just say it for you. I think most of you have done a good job of teaching your kids to obey. You know, when they're little, you're still working. It's a process, but we get there, right? For the most part. I'll let you think about it a minute, if you need a minute. I mean, I want to be able to tell my kids, if they're doing something, stop, and they stop. I want to be able to tell my kids, if I want them to do a chore, that I say, get up, go do that, and they get up and go do that. I got this dream of being able to tell them one time. And they smile and in a British accent say, yes, Father. I don't know why it's always in an English accent in my head, but it is. Hey, listen, if you're going to dream, dream big. We think that if we can get them to obey, that's enough. But listen to me. Your children need more than rules. They need a relationship. You may find this hard to believe. My kids have done some wrong things. I know, shocking. One of the most heartbreaking moments in my parenting was when one of the kids came to me to confess that they had done something wrong, and they told me they were afraid to tell me. You know, a lot of times I kind of joke, like, well, you better be afraid, because it was devastating to me to see the fear and trembling in my child. And I tried to reassure them and said, listen, what you did is not okay. But there's nothing that you will ever do to make me stop loving you. And you can always tell me anything, and I will always love you. Amen. Discipline without a loving relationship Discipline without a loving relationship will not help your children. It will hurt them. But when you combine that loving relationship with consistent, did you hear that word? Consistent biblical discipline, your children can grow up to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We've got a lot more to talk about, and we're gonna stop right here tonight. We're gonna pick it up next week. But we need to, by the grace of God, avoid these pitfalls. So tonight I want to ask you to stand with me. We're gonna get ready for a verse of invitation. And I wanna give you a very serious call tonight. I know how it is when you hear messages like this. I know how it works on your heart. So if God's convicted your heart, there's something in your past. Tonight you need to say, God, forgive me. You do that. If you've still got kids at home, I want to challenge you, especially if you got kids at home, tonight to recommit yourself to biblical parenting. It's easy to lose our focus. It's easy to get off track. But tonight that you would just come and say, God, help me. How do we do this? Help me to love these kids. Help me to bring them up in your nurture and admonition. Help me to do this by your grace. Tonight, if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.
Page 514.
514.